It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
Oh, welcome into Tuesday, John Spears. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. Tuesday, November 16th. Full disclosure here, had a power outage at the studio again today. So I'm not going to say I'm not fully prepared for the show, but my research certainly went downhill this morning when I heard we had a power outage. Didn't think I was going to be here today to do the show. Then I got a call from our good friend Douglas saying, hey, back up if you want to come on over. So I said, sure, why not? Fans of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, he will be back tomorrow. The power outage knocked him off the air today, so full show tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. He'll preview the Indiana St. John's basketball game, which will take place tomorrow night in Assembly Hall. M&M Carnage Hotline is open, 502-384-1450, 384-1450 to join in on the conversation. The Thornton's text line is open as well, 502-414-1450. Don't forget, Thornton's is a perfect stop for all the best pick-me-up items you need to get your day started, like fresh coffee, delicious donuts. Visit our friends at Thornton's. Another reason I wasn't doing a whole lot of research, I had a guest book today, John Hale, Courier-Journal. He will join me now instead tomorrow. Tony Burke will not be in studio with me tomorrow, as he has found something better to do, apparently. Got a text from him this morning. So John Hale from the Courier-Journal will join me tomorrow. We will recap what happens in Lexington tonight, Kentucky, and Mount St. Mary's. 7 o'clock tip for John Calipari's team on the SEC Network. Last night, Louisville with a win over Navy. We'll talk about that. Monday Night Football, another scratch-your-head night for the NFL's. The San Francisco 49ers somehow made it look easy against the new-look, all-in Los Angeles Rams. We'll talk about that. AP Top 25 College Basketball poll came out, it came out yesterday during the afternoon. And tonight, of course, 7 o'clock on ESPN, you've got the college football playoff rankings. I railed a little bit on that yesterday, and I'll probably rail a little bit on it a little bit more today. We begin with Louisville's win last night over the Naval Academy, 77-60 at the Yum Center. A lot more energy out of this Louisville team than we saw in the loss Friday night against Furman, and you would expect that. You certainly expect after a loss to a team you should not lose to. Furman, by the way, lost at Belmont last night. You would expect the Louisville team to at least have the attention, the coaches to have the attention of the Louisville team. Mike Pegues, in his post-game press conference, said Louisville had their best practice of the year so far on Sunday. He challenged them to commit to being committed, basically, and giving it everything you had. And we saw that especially in the opening segment before the first TV timeout last night. You had guys diving on the floor, getting after it defensively. As Mike Pegues said, sticking their nose in there. Now, you still got out-rebounded. And I don't want to be negative Nelly, because that's a pretty good win over a team that won at Virginia a week ago. And I don't want to start off with the negative. I think it's a good performance by Louisville last night overall. But you got out-rebounded by a team that had one player taller than 6'7 last night. And Furman out-rebounded you. It was 32-27 last night. And look, in football, basketball, anything you do against a service academy, whether it's Army, Air Force, or Navy, you know you're going to get attitude, effort, hustle, grit out of those service academy schools. It's always the way it is. And rebounding is about effort. Rebounding is about nothing more than effort. Now, if I've got 5'6'10" guys and they've got 5'6'3" guys, all right, it's a little bit about talent. It's a little bit about size. But for the most part, rebounding is about effort. And Navy gave better effort on the glass last night. Louisville was never in trouble in this game. They had a double-digit lead at halftime. The closest I think Navy got was 14 or 15 midway through the second half. So the Cards were never pushed in a pressure situation after the first 10 minutes of that game last night. Matt Cross, fun to watch. 14 points, hit all four of his three-pointers, even with the bad finger. Got a technical foul when maybe he shouldn't have. The referee actually admitted he probably shouldn't have given him the technical foul last night. But Matt Cross, the guy this fan base is going to love. Sam Williamson followed up his bad performance against Duke with a pretty good one last night. He was 6 of 10 from the field, 13 points, 4 rebounds. Noah Locke did Noah Locke things again, 12 points. Jalen Withers had 11. Malik Cunningham, well, he fills up the stat sheet a little bit here, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Still doesn't look healthy. Still doesn't look right out there trying to get up and down the floor. His movements in the post seem to have gotten slower. Now, he did get banged up at one point. It looked like a leg or foot injury. He came out, went to the end of the bench, got checked out by the trainers, got back in. So hopefully everything's okay there. Hopefully it was just one of those scares where you've had surgery, you feel something, you go, uh-oh, I better get this checked out. And like I say, he got back in quickly. Good minutes from Roosevelt Wheeler last night. Played 9 minutes, 3 points, 3 rebounds. He blocked a couple of shots. Now, he's spindly, is that the word, spindly? His legs are toothpicky. I know that's not a word. He's got a lot to do in the weight room, but 6'10 is 6'10, and he's long, and he contributed. And Louisville is going to need somebody on the inside to help out Malik Williams. We did not see J.J. Traynor last night. We did not see Sidney Curry last night. Sidney Curry started the second exhibition game. We didn't see him last night. He didn't see the floor. And the acting head coach, Mike Pegues, sort of inferred last night in the post game that it was due to you practice hard, you're going to play. You don't practice hard, probably not going to play much. You determine how many minutes you're going to get in this game, because this is a Louisville team. Although they may not have anybody on the roster that looks like a surefire NBA player, they do have numbers. They've got a whole lot of depth. And we've seen it. I did call Malik Williams Malik Cunningham. I apologize. Thank you, Texter. Too many Maliks in that program. Too many Maliks in the program. But you've got to get help inside. And if Sidney Curry's not going to practice hard, he's not going to play. Roosevelt Wheeler's going to play. And J.J. Traynor played a lot last year. Not getting minutes yet. So we'll see how that plays itself out. You got 4 days off now, basically, or 4 days of practice to get ready for Detroit Mercy on Saturday at 2 in the Yum Center. I love the big games in November. I love the Villanova-UCLA. I love the Gonzaga-Texas, Kentucky-Duke, Kansas-Michigan State. Nothing better than great games in November. We used to never see that. Used to never see it. But now we have that. And, I mean, last night in college basketball, all the states that aren't states struggled against top 25 opponents. What I mean by that is Gonzaga State beat Alcorn, or I'm sorry, Gonzaga beat Alcorn State. I did not know Alcorn was a state. UCLA beat Long Beach State. Baylor beat Nichols State. And Ohio State, which, by the way, Ohio is a state, beat Bowling Green State. So if you are a state that's not a state, you didn't have a good night last night. College basketball against the top 25 teams. Speaking of top 25, the new AP poll came out yesterday. Gonzaga's still number one. UCLA number two. I talked to Rick Bozich a little bit last night from Fox 41. He is one of the six AP voters that voted UCLA number one. Everybody else voted Gonzaga number one. I think there's something like 81 voters. Everybody had Gonzaga except six voters took UCLA number one. He said he just likes what he sees out of UCLA. He's watched them play. He likes what Mick Cronin is doing there. Gonzaga is going to be good, folks. Drew Timmy is one of those guys, if you are on the other team, you are not a fan of Drew Timmy. Because Drew Timmy apparently loves him some Drew Timmy. He plays to the crowd. He scored the first 2 points the other night against Texas, and he did the little kiss to the crowd and look at me, and I went, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? And then he scored another bucket, and he does it every time. And as an opposing player, I'm going to give him a low blow here. I'm going to give him a low blow coming down the court. Hey, you're not going to show me up. You might score 35. That's enough to show me up. You don't have to show me up while you're showing me up. But Gonzaga is really good. They've been really good before. Favorites to win it last year. Couldn't, you know, put the cherry on top of the sundae there last year. Lost to Baylor. UCLA number 2. Kansas is 3rd. Michigan is 4th. Villanova dropped after their loss, but they just shouldn't drop far when you lose to UCLA in Pauley Pavilion in overtime. They dropped to number 5. Purdue is 6th. If I'm putting money on a team right now trying to get decent odds to win it all, it's Purdue. They shoot the ball. They're big inside. They got a whole lot going on in West Lafayette right now. And Matt Painter can coach. He's proven that he can flat-out coach. Duke is 7th. Got some Duke news, by the way. I'll get to that in a second. Texas 8th after their loss to Gonzaga. Baylor is 9th. The Bears with a big win last night over one of those state teams, Nichols State, 89-60. Illinois lost their 10th. They lost at home, on the road to Marquette. It wasn't at Marquette's home arena, but it was still a loss. Marquette beats Illinois 67-66. The Illini looked like they had that game in hand, and Marquette went on a late run to win it. Keep in mind, Illinois is still without Kofi Coburn. The big man on the inside, guy that was rumored to maybe being transferring to Kentucky this past year. After Oscar Tshiebwe came, he decided not to, stayed at Illinois. Preseason All-American, and he's suspended for accepting some sort of gifts in the offseason. This was his last game to not play, and the Marquette took advantage and beat Illinois by 1. I'm not holding this against the Illini. When your best player is not in the game for a suspension, then you know what? All bets are off here. But Illinois 10th. Next 5 are Memphis, Oregon. Kentucky dropped to 13th. Alabama and Houston. Then it's Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Ohio State, Maryland, followed by Auburn, St. Bonaventure, Connecticut, Florida, and USC. Florida in based on their win against Florida State over the weekend. All right, Duke's got some issues. Now, they're 3-0. They got a home game tonight against Gardner-Webb, not on local television. Gardner-Webb's 0-2. Duke's a 21.5-point favorite if you care about those kind of things. But early Sunday morning, late Saturday night is what I would call it, but it was after midnight, after a win over Army, a couple of Blue Devils got pulled over, and the driver happened to be Michael Severino. You probably don't know that name. He's a former walk-on who earned a scholarship for the Blue Devils. He also happens to be the grandson of head coach Mike Krzyzewski. Mom is one of the assistant athletic directors at Duke, and Michael Severino was arrested, charged with DWI, driving while intoxicated. Also in the car, by the way, Severino is 20 years old. So driving while intoxicated and underage driving while intoxicated. Also in the car, probably the number one pick in the draft next year, Paolo Banchero, 19 years old. He was charged with aiding and abetting a DWI. I did not know that was a thing that existed. I did not know that was a real thing. Because let me tell you what. When I was 20, 21, 22, I'd be out with my buddies. And inevitably, somebody that had a few adult beverages would be driving us all home. It's just the way it was back in the early 80s. I don't think it was right. I'm not here to condone it. I made mistakes just like everybody else, made bad choices. But it is what it is. That is exactly what happened. And Under no circumstances did I ever think if I was sitting in the backseat of a car driven by a friend who'd had a little too much to drink and I got pulled over that I could be charged with aiding and abetting a DWI. Now, I'm certain that's a slap on the wrist. DWI is serious. I would not make fun of that at all. That is a serious charge. Aiding and abetting DWI, sitting in the passenger seat, I don't see what I did wrong here. Other than get in the car with somebody who'd been drinking, that was a mistake. Now, conventional wisdom says the aiding and abetting means you didn't take the keys away from the other guy, right? You didn't say, hey, dude, you're not driving here. You had too much to drink. You're not getting behind the wheel. Now, my question is, how much had Paolo Banchero had to drink? Because at 19 years old, I can only assume he's got his driver's license. And I can only assume if he were sober, he would have taken the keys from Michael Savarino and said, hey, I'm driving here, dude. My guess here is that Savarino was supposed to watch over the future number one draft pick, the lottery pick, the best player on the team for Coach K. He pulls his grandson aside and says, hey, keep an eye on Paolo. Take him with you when you go places. When y'all hang out, make good decisions, as every grandparent and parent would say, make good decisions and take care of Paolo. Well, that's not what Michael Savarino did. Apparently, he took Banchero out with him. They had a few too many to drink. And listen, there is no evidence as we sit here today that Banchero was drinking. No evidence whatsoever. Nothing in the police report. In fact, he was released. He was charged, but released. Because, you know, he wasn't driving. But I've been out with my friends. Everybody's gone out with their friends. If somebody's not drinking, they drive home. I mean, it's really that simple. I'm not telling you anything out of school here. This is from experience. If I'm out with two guys, if I'm out with five guys, and we're all in the same car, if one of them's not drinking, that's the guy that drives home. Period. End of discussion. Now, they play Gardner Webb tonight. I don't think Banchero will play. I'm sure Savarino won't play. He's in a bad spot here. Because not only does he have to answer to his coach and his team, his coach happens to be his grandpa, and his mom happens to be an assistant athletic director at Duke. Oof. Michael Savarino, buckle up. You're in trouble, young man. Duke has to play Gonzaga, but that's four games away. My guess is this is going to be a three-game suspension at Duke. All right, we'll take a break. Kentucky plays basketball tonight. We'll talk about that. NFL recaps from the weekend, also Monday Night Football. And another coach, this one in the ACC, gets fired in college football. We'll talk about all that and more. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. M&M Cartage hotline is open, 502-384-1450. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, 384-1450. Text line is open, sponsored by Thornton's, 502-414-1450. Download Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app today for great offers and savings on fuel every day. That's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. And get your text into the Thornton's text line, 414-1450. I have some news and notes, Major League Baseball. Eduardo Rodriguez, Boston Red Sox left-handed pitcher, signed with Detroit yesterday. If you want to compete, you got to have a catcher and you got to have some pitching. And the Tigers have went and got Tucker Barnhart from the Reds, and now they get Eduardo Rodriguez, left-handed starter for the Red Sox, who was effective in the postseason this year. Now, Tigers got a long way to go here, but that's a good pickup. The Angels signed former New York Met Noah Syndergaard, 1 year, $21 million. The Angels are trying to go all in here. You got Mike Trout coming back from injury. You got Shohei Ohtani. You got some good young players like Walsh and Joe Adell from Ballard High School. You got some good youth there. They needed pitching. They go get Noah Syndergaard. Now, Syndergaard hasn't pitched since 2019. Had Tommy John surgery, sat out the pandemic year, sat out this year as well. But if he's healthy and he can get back to anywhere close to what he was, this is a good pickup for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. College football news, Justin Fuente out at Virginia Tech after six seasons. Fuente was the coordinator in the Frank Beamer years leading up to his ascension to head coach at Virginia Tech. Great coordinator, but didn't get the needle pumped up as a head coach. So he's out after 6 years, Virginia Tech, looking for a head football coach. We mentioned this yesterday. At some point, and it may be after Thursday's game, if you're a Louisville fan, you hope it's after Thursday's game. Duke is going to announce, or the head coach himself, David Cutcliffe, is going to announce his retirement effective at the end of the season. And I said this yesterday. Man, you don't want him to do it before Thursday night's game, because then it's an emotional game. Then it's a win one for the Gipper kind of a game. Win one for the coach, our outgoing coach. We love you. We're going to put it all on the line. TCU did it against Baylor when Gary Patterson got let go a few weeks ago. TCU came out. They were under 500, and they beat a one-loss Baylor team. You don't want Duke to play an emotional game Thursday night if you're Louisville. You want to come out. You want to score. You want to get a three and out and then get the snowball rolling there if you're Louisville. Emotion plays a big part in some of these late season games. When you're playing for a bowl game or you're playing for your coach, got to send them off on the right foot. And ACC, again, Clemson's had a down year. You're certainly, Florida State's still not back to being Florida State. You're certainly not going to be a player in the college football playoff. So, you know, you might see more of these coaches let go at the end of the season in the ACC. And, of course, quickly, the moth goes to the flame. The gas is thrown on the fire here. Everybody all of a sudden says, oh, wait a minute, would Scott Satterfield be interested in the Duke job? Here's what I heard last night at the Louisville basketball game. And I don't want to call this a source. I'm just going to say this was talk. This was just a little, as I'm walking by, hey, keep an eye on this. This is a perfect weekend for Scott Satterfield to interview for the Duke job because he's going to be there anyway. He's going to be there anyway. He can sneak away for 20 minutes and meet with Duke officials, and nobody will know about it. Well, somebody will know about it, but nobody will talk about it. I don't know why anybody that has the Louisville job would want the Duke job. Because David Cutcliffe is a really good coach. He proved that before he went to Duke as Tennessee's offensive coordinator. Really good coach. If he can't get it turned around at Duke, why would you think you could get it turned around at Duke if you're Scott Satterfield? Duke, you're competing in the ACC. You're competing against North Carolina. You're trying to get recruits from North Carolina, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, throw in South Carolina and Clemson. Clemson definitely dips up into North Carolina to try to get players. Why would you leave Louisville to go to Duke? Now, conventional wisdom tells me that Scott Satterfield is waiting for Mack Brown to retire at North Carolina. Mack Brown is 212 years old. He's got to retire at some point. And that would be the job that would be attractive to the current Louisville head coach. But keep in mind, Louisville is going to be at Duke on Thursday night. It's a perfect opportunity to meet with the Duke administrators if you are so interested in that job. if you are interested in. And I don't know why he would be. I really don't. I don't think it's a job that you go to win games. Let's put it that way. Duke has never been a job that you go to in football to win games. Now, maybe he just wants some great basketball seats. I don't know. And Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, when he flirted with Baylor after Matt Rhule left Baylor for the NFL and did not get that job, I think his fate was sealed at Virginia Tech because they did not like that. Hey, look, you were here forever with Frank Beamer. We promoted you, and you go flirt with Baylor? Baylor? It's not Oklahoma. It's Baylor. Texter says, why would anyone be interested in Satterfield? Well, they know him in that part of the country. He did great things at Appalachian State. You can't just say, you can't just forget that because he's 5-5 at Louisville. I mean, you can't. The track record he has in the state of North Carolina is pretty good. It's pretty good. So, again, I don't think there's anything to this. I don't know why you'd even consider going to leaving Louisville to go to Duke for a football job. This is not basketball, where Duke's one of the top three programs in the country. This is football, where Duke is maybe one of the bottom three Power Five teams in the country. You throw in Vanderbilt and Kansas, add Duke, and you got yourself, add one more bad team, and you got yourself a golf foursome there. By the way, speaking of golf foursomes, heard a great joke last night at the U of L game. And I got to give credit to, I know this is way off topic, but I got to give credit to the woman that told me this joke. Mindy Beard Montano came up to me and just said, out of nowhere, got a great joke for you. Four guys are on the golf course, and they're about halfway through the round, playing on a hole that's by a road, and a funeral procession rides by. And one of the guys takes his hat off, takes his golf hat off, bows his head, puts his hand over his chest, over his heart, and he waits for the procession to go by. And the other three guys are just looking at him. The cars go by. The guy puts his hat back on, and one of the other guys says, man, that was really nice. That was really sweet of you to stop our golf game to just sort of show respect to the recently deceased. And the guy says, well, you know, I was married to her for 31 years. It's the least I could do. That's a great joke. That's a great, clean joke. Thank you, Mindy Montana. Fantastic. I don't know where to go from there. I really don't. College football this weekend. By the way, before I get to college football, the Louisville crowd last night, I don't know. I don't know if football's seeping over. And look, it's a Monday night game against the Naval Academy. But Navy beat Virginia. The crowd that was there was good, great. They were loud. They were boisterous. But there were a whole lot of empty seats last night. And I guess this is a trend now. And I had a guy sitting next to me ask me what I thought. And I said, look, I was at Kentucky last week. That was not a full house for that season opener. I'm going to be there tonight. Mount St. Mary's, it's not going to be a full house. It's the world we kind of live in now. Because my point was, before COVID, everybody went to the games. It was a night out. You go to the games. You're hanging out with your friends. The people sitting next to you have probably been sitting next to you for the last 10-plus years. You got these, as Jimmy Fallon called it, in the movie Fever Pitch, you know, it's your basketball family, right? You sit with the same people. You enjoy the same stuff. Then COVID hit. A lot of people gave up their season tickets. And people started to realize, man, you know what? This is really interesting because now I've got a lot more money than I used to have. Got a lot more money because I'm not paying for season tickets, two tickets, four tickets, however many it is. I'm not paying to park. I'm not paying $9 for a beer every time I go to a game. If I drink three beers, that's $27 plus tip. I'm not paying for food. I'm not paying to park. I think I might have mentioned parking already. You know, it's $15 to park across the street from the Yum Center. $15. That's the cheap parking. People figured out, and I'm one of those people, by the way, that it costs a lot less to get a really nice big screen, plasma if you want, television, or two. Fix yourself a nice little sports cave. You got a recliner. You got a comfortable seat. 95% of the people, 95% of the seats at the Yum Center or in or Rupp Arena, any arena you want to talk about, 95% of those seats are not as good a view as you have at home in your recliner or on your couch with your big screen TV. 95% of those seats are not nearly as good as your seat at home. Your beer or your adult beverage or your non-adult beverage are a lot cheaper. You don't have to pay to park. You don't have to fight traffic on the way to the game and on the way home from the game. Your food is a lot cheaper. And you spend a lot less time out of your day. You turn the game's at 8, you turn it on at 7:55. The game's over at 10, you turn it off at 10:05. And then you can do whatever you want the rest of the night. Or you can do whatever you want before the game. And I think that's the world we live in now. We talked about Louisville football fans, and even on Lamar Day, it wasn't a huge crowd at Cardinal Stadium. But I asked, look, if Kentucky was 3-7 instead of 7-3, how many people are showing up even for the Tennessee game? There's a big crowd for the Tennessee game. But here's a question, and I'll be there Saturday. How many people are going to be at the New Mexico State-Kentucky game at noon in November in a game where Kentucky's a 30-plus point favorite? I would say Kentucky, if it's two-thirds full, two-thirds, be pretty happy. And this is a Kentucky team that has done something no Kentucky team's ever done. Finished second alone in the SEC East. Never done it before. But it's New Mexico State. It's Chattanooga. For Louisville basketball, it's Navy. It's Furman. Upcoming, it's Detroit Mercy on a Saturday afternoon. There's not going to be anybody at that game. There's not. If it's an 18,000-seat, 20,000-seat arena, be lucky if there's 10,000 people there. It was about half full last night, at best. It really at best. The upper deck was empty. It is the world we live in now. It is cheaper, it is easier, and it is just as much fun. Invite over a few friends to watch the games at home. All right, we'll take a break, talk a little NFL when we come back. It was this crazy weekend again in the National Football League, and it got just as crazy last night with Rams 49ers. We'll also give you what to watch tonight. You'll be surprised at my choice. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio, final segment. M&M Cartage Hotline open, 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation. The Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Get your last-minute text into the show. Kentucky, by the way, Mount St. Mary's tonight, 7 o'clock ESPN Network. I guess that's the first half of what to watch. If you're a Kentucky fan, I know you're going to watch that. If you don't know anything about Mount St. Mary's, I will say this. They lost to Villanova on the road in their opener by 40, 91-51. I watched part of that game, not to watch Mount St. Mary's, but that was a 4:30 game on the opening day of college basketball last Tuesday. And when the first game is on the opening day, I'm watching. So I saw a lot of that game, and I thought, boy, this Villanova team is really, really good. I didn't even think to consider how bad Mount St. Mary's was. They did beat Washington College by 55. I don't know where Washington College is. Their most recent game was Saturday. They lost at St. Joe's out of the Atlantic 10, 80-60. So Mount St. Mary's comes in 1-2 tonight. Texter says, Satterfield grew up very close to Duke. This is the Todd father, by the way. Very close to Duke and has family close, so that would be the only reason, but I don't see it happening. Also, my Lakers need some consistency, especially Davis, meaning Anthony Davis. Yeah, I agree. They do. And with LeBron out with the injury, you're not getting any defense at all in Los Angeles. And the reason I bring up the NBA is that is the other part of what to watch tonight. Because the first game of the NBA on TNT doubleheader, Golden State and Brooklyn, that's a great game. And you're going to see who I believe at this point are the two best players in the National Basketball Association. Apologies to LeBron, who is injured and getting older. Apologies to Luka Doncic, who is great. But Steph Curry and Kevin Durant tonight, 7:30 TNT. Brooklyn, a three-point favorite in that one at home. James Harden will play for the Nets. Klay Thompson still not back. He's working towards getting back. Look, Golden State, that's a good team. That is a good team. And they're missing a couple of draft picks that are still not playing. James Wiseman is still not playing. They got a deep, deep bench. Golden State's just good. They have, do they still have the best record in the league? Yeah, they're 11-2. They're 11-2, and they lead, they only lead the Suns by one game. Suns won again last night. They're 10-3. That's going to be fun. But if you're not a Kentucky fan, looking for something to watch, even if you're not an NBA fan, Golden State and Brooklyn, 7:30. And by the way, the second game at 10 o'clock, Philadelphia and Utah. Card fans, you can watch Donovan Mitchell. Philadelphia, Utah's 8-5. They've struggled a little bit. Philadelphia's taken a step back. They started the season on fire. They're now 8-6. You got Joel Embiid, Donovan Mitchell for the Jazz. That's a fun game. Utah's a 9.5-point favorite at home there. So what to watch tonight? NBA on TNT. I usually don't give you the NBA. And the second game I'm not as interested in. But that first game, oh, I like that first game. Golden State and Brooklyn. And they only play twice a year. Western Conference versus Eastern Conference. The Lakers, and this is for the Todd father, not good last night. Not good. You're 8-7 now. The Bulls beat you 121-103 in L.A. in the Staples Center. And the problem you have if you're the Lakers here is you look at the Bulls, who are 10-4, and you say, there's Lonzo Ball. Well, yeah, we had him. We had him for a while. Oh, there's Daniel. Is it Daniel Caruso? No, it's Alex Caruso. It's not the Karate Kid. There's Alex Caruso. Oh, we had him. We had him, too. He was pretty good last night. The Bulls are pretty good. The Lakers right now, just not very good. So Caruso didn't score. He had 6 rebounds and 5 assists last night, started. Lonzo Ball, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. And he hit 7 out of 10 three-pointers. Lonzo Ball has learned how to shoot. And this is an unbelievably good Bulls team. You know who the head coach of the Bulls is? You probably don't know if you don't follow. Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan was at Oklahoma City for all those years, won 2 national titles at Florida. DeMar DeRozan is a starter for the Bulls. I bet you didn't know that. Zach LaVine is an all-star. He had 26-5-5 last night. So they got 53 out of LaVine and Ball. The bench is good. Derrick Jones Jr., unknown. Kobe White, former North Carolina Tar Heel. Dosunmu, who they love. The Illinois, you know, basically a home kid. University of Illinois kid who now is playing in Chicago. He had 5 points off the bench last night. Big early draft pick, Patrick Williams, not even playing right now. He's injured. Vucevic didn't play last night. He's injured. Boy, the Bulls are good. The Bulls are going to – they're in there for the long haul. They are going to be there for a while. All right, and enough about the National Basketball Association. NFL last night, San Francisco beat the Rams 31-10. All right. You got Von Miller. You got Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I know Odell, let's to be fair, He was only in for 15 snaps. He had two catches, 18 yards last night. He didn't run the wrong route, but one of the interceptions that Matthew Stafford threw was deep into double coverage with Odell, and Odell didn't come close to it. He might have gone a different way than Stafford thought he was going to go. The Niners are now 4-5. The Rams, who had a chance to tie Arizona for the lead in the NFC West, instead have lost their second straight game now. So, not good if you're a Rams fan, because you're all in if you're a Rams fan, if you're the Rams. You're all in. You went, you picked up Matthew Stafford in the offseason, you pick up Von Miller a week and a half ago, you pick up Odell Beckham Jr. Now, you lost Robert Woods, and I said this Friday, that is a big loss for the Rams, because Robert Woods made Cooper Kupp better, he made Tyler Higbee better, he made Matthew Stafford better. You could run the jet sweep with him. He did a lot of different things for that Rams team. It is an underrated loss there with the torn ACL. But the Titans beat the Rams last week, 28-16. The Niners roll them last night. That's five straight wins for Kyle Shanahan's San Francisco 49ers over Sean McVay's Los Angeles Rams. Second longest winning streak for San Francisco in the history of that rivalry. The other one I'm going to guess is when Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and John Taylor were throwing it around. That's a disappointing loss last night for the Rams. I know it's a road game, but you would have thought, and it's a standalone game. I say this all the time. We overreact when it's a game that everybody watches. Kansas City beats the Raiders Sunday Night Football. We overreact. I overreact. I'm as guilty as anybody. But the Rams were 7-1. They go all in. They put their chips in the table, and they lose their next two games. It's not how it's supposed to happen. You got a bye week this week in Los Angeles. Then you go to Green Bay the following week. The schedule is not easy for the Rams because they still got the Cardinals on the road, who they lost to in L.A., they still have to go to Baltimore. They have to go to a sneaky good Minnesota team. I was going to use this trivia question tomorrow on Tony Burke, but he's not going to be here. He's a big fan of the Vikings, and I just gave away the answer. But there's only one team in the league this year, in the NFL, that has had a 7-point lead or more in every game. Every game. Minnesota Vikings. You never know what you're going to get. They are Forrest Gump box of chocolates. Kirk Cousins, he's really good on the road. His quarterback rating on the road is so much better than it is at home, and that's something you just don't see out of quarterbacks. But anyway, the Rams still have the Cardinals on the road. They got the Seahawks at home, Vikings and Ravens on the road, and they finish the season again with the 49ers, who, as I mentioned, have beaten them five straight times. Shaking my head here. I picked the Rams last night. Shaking my head. Because, I mean, I don't know anything when it comes to NFL football. No idea. And neither do you. If you say you do, you're fooling yourself. You know who's good all of a sudden? You know who's really good? New England. Mac Jones, the best rookie quarterback playing right now. Now, he's got better weapons than Trevor Lawrence, so it's really not fair to Trevor Lawrence. But Trey Lance isn't playing. Zach Wilson's hurt. Mac Jones has been really, really good. They're 6-4. They're a playoff team. They're only half game behind the Bills. And they just routed Cleveland this weekend, 45-7. Name me one New England Patriot wide receiver. Can you do it? One. Nelson Aguilar, former Eagle. Kendrick Bourne scored at least one touchdown while I was watching. That game was so bad, CBS took it off the air and put another game on in the middle of the third quarter. N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski, and Matthew Slater. Those are your wide receivers on the roster of the New England Patriots. Now, Hunter Henry's been great at tight end. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. Their defense has played well. That is a playoff team. And I said before Sunday's game, they really hadn't played anybody. They hadn't beaten anybody good. Cleveland, coming off the win over the Bengals, no more Odell drama. They went right down the field on their opening drive, scored a touchdown. They didn't sniff the end zone again. And then Washington beats Tampa Bay. The Washington football team, by the way, interesting game coming up this weekend. Washington and Carolina. Ron Rivera coaching the Washington football team against the Panthers and Cam Newton, who is taking, by all reports, going to take all the number one reps in practice this week. Probably going to start for the Panthers this weekend. Washington and Carolina. I didn't think that in week 11 I was going to be excited about Washington and Carolina, but here we are. Game of the weekend's Dallas and Kansas City. That's a late afternoon Sunday game. I said this yesterday. Winner of the weekend were the Bengals because they didn't play. The Browns lost. The Ravens lost. And the Steelers finished in a tie with the Detroit Lions. So the Bengals gained a half a game on two teams, and I guess they gained a quarter of a game. I don't know how you gain a quarter of a game, but they gained a quarter of a game on the Steelers. Everybody is still 500 or better in the AFC North. Same goes for the AFC West. The Chiefs are back in first at 6-4. I'm not a believer yet. Minnesota, another road win, 27-20 over the Chargers. Kirk Cousins, he does it. Philadelphia rolled Denver. There's a team that's playing really good football right now, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, they're 4-6. They are 3.5 games behind Dallas in the NFC East, but right now they're in the hunt for a wild card. And they're playing good football. That's what you look at, who's playing good football. John Hale joins me tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. You've been listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.